If you want to take your family to Korea or Japan or both, but are feeling overwhelmed planning and paying for such a bucket list trip, this episode is for you. Keep listening to hear how our special guest used points and miles to save on a trip to Korea and Japan for her family of five. Welcome to Points Talk with the Travel Mom Squad. We are three moms who've discovered how to leverage credit card welcome offers to get hundreds of thousands of dollars of travel expenses for nearly free. We've used credit card points and miles to take vacations to places like Hawaii, Paris, Greece, Maldives, Japan, and so much more. And the best part? We each still have 800 plus credit scores. Imagine being able to take the vacation of your dreams for nearly free. It's totally possible, and we're here to show you how.
Hey, I'm Alex.
And I'm Pam, Alex's mom.
And I'm Jess. Let's talk points. Today, we have a very special guest. You may have already heard her on one of our previous episodes all about road trips. But today, we are talking all about how our digital business manager, Megan, took her family of five all the way to Korea and Japan, and she did it mostly on points and miles. She did pay cash for some things, as you are going to hear, but I just want to stress that none of us at TMS use points and miles for everything. We either pay cash for rental cars, we're paying cash for our experiences when we get to a destination. A lot of times, Pam will pay cash for domestic flights that she's taking because she likes to save her miles for those bougie international business class flights. So like we always say, you do you. There's no one size fits all when it comes to points and miles. So we are going to hear all about how Megan did it. So Megan, welcome back to the show. Thank you for being here.
Hi, guys. So I just wanted to start, and since I'm in the Facebook group, we get lots of questions about people being like, they get overwhelmed of, I have to do this all in points or I'm not doing it right. But like, as a family of five, we really don't often travel completely on points. It's just a lot of points. And when you're, and especially when we, where we were going, we needed two rooms pretty much everywhere. And that adds up really quickly. So when we initially were starting our idea of going on this trip, we were like, we want to go to Japan. That's where we want to go. But then as I started looking into the flights, we couldn't find like any flights into Japan. It is very popular right now. And I'm sure if other people are looking for those flights to Japan, they're also realizing that. So I kind of started just looking anywhere nearby. I was like, we could go like to Taiwan. We could go to Singapore. We could go to Hong Kong or Shanghai. And then ended up being the best points amount to ended up being Seoul, South Korea. So that's where we ended up starting our trip. And actually, we ended up getting best flights coming home from there, too. So we started and ended in South Korea and then did Japan in the middle.
That is awesome. And just as a refresher, Megan and her husband have three kids, and they are eight.
We have a 9-year-old, and we have 7-year-old twins.
Okay. 9-year-old and 7-year-old twins. So busy household. And, but that's kind of cool. And they're all girls. And so they're all, you know, maybe interested in a lot of the same things because they're so close in age.
That's the best part.
Yeah. But the thing, I feel like a lot of default family vacations are to the beach. And I love hearing about something a little bit different, about taking kids and exploring a city. When my daughter was younger, I actually found it easier to take her to a city because it just, there's so much to do. And so I love hearing about you taking them to explore Asia. So let's kick it off with Korea and how you, the five of you, got there and the points and miles that you used to make that happen.
So we flew actually. So we're in upstate New York in Rochester, when we have this like teeny tiny little like 20 gate airport. And oftentimes when people are trying to go international, they have to reposition to a bigger airport to get better flights. We got super, super lucky. We flew right out of Rochester. We booked a Delta flight, but we booked it through Air France. And Air France has been kind of my favorite this year. It's super easy to get their points. All the major banks transferred to them. So we ended up booking Delta flights from Rochester. We laid over in Detroit, and then we went straight to Seoul, South Korea from Detroit. And that was our flight. And we used 50,000 points per person. and $14.50 in taxes and fees. So for total, we paid 250,000 points and $73 to fly all five of us from our teeny tiny little airport with one layover to Seoul, South Korea.
That's pretty incredible.
Yeah, and I feel like people often discount their little airports. They're like, oh, I have to go to JFK or I have to go to Chicago. But like, we fly economy. We're not flying business class. So if there's a lot more options. And I feel like if you're just a little flexible and a little creative, like how I went from Delta booking through Air France, like the Delta flights were like 1,000,000 points. And then Air France ended up being like this little sweet spot for us. It worked out really, really well. And then actually coming home, we flew American. And that one's a little trickier because only City and Barclays transfer, or you can only get American points that way besides Bilt, which that's going away later this year. But we paid only 35,000 miles coming home and $43 in taxes and fees per person. So we flew from Seoul to Dallas to Rochester, and we only paid 175,000 miles and $219 in taxes and fees. So for all five of us, round trip, we paid under $300.
Yeah, that's crazy. Like, so your round trip flights per person were less than $60 each.
Yes.
If I did the math right.
Yeah, it was like $58.55 in my little notes here.
That is so crazy because you're traveling so stinking far. Nobody would possibly believe that you could do it for that cheap.
Yeah.
The power of credit card points and miles.
And it really is, because if we paid cash, it would have been like $1,200, $1,500 a person because we were traveling during peak season over spring break.
So I know you flew Delta one way and American coming home. Was there like a clear winner as far as the flight experience goes, or were they comparable?
The Delta flight was really nice. It was, and I think like we were like 10 rows from the back of the airplane and we even had like, we had little slippers in our spots and I was like, this is really nice. I will say on the way there, we did have a medical emergency on the flight up in the front of the airplane and they had to make an emergency landing in Tokyo, Haneda. So that added a couple hours, and not to mention my kids get motion sickness sometimes and they all were not doing well on the ups and downs of multiple landings and takeoffs at the end of a 15-hour flight, which ended up being like 17 hours, but we made it through it. But I do think the Delta flight was an economy. The food was better. The service was wonderful. American was kind of like the food was really bad. And I kind of like, I really am not a picky eater. And I was like, I can't even eat this.
And that's a long time to be stuck with food you don't feel like you can even eat.
And it's an American airline. I mean, you were coming from the United States. So you'd think it would be something that you and the kids would be really familiar.
Well, no, this was her flight coming home from Korea.
Coming back. Yeah, coming back from Korea. So going there, it actually was Korean food and it was really good. Coming back, we had like the ham sandwich for like the snack wasn't bad, but then it was like kimchi and something. And I was like, for like basically breakfast. And I was like, no, thank you. But so once we landed in Seoul and everybody was finally kind of not feeling nauseous anymore, we typically rely on public transportation when we travel. This also just makes our money go further. It's cheaper for five people. Like, we didn't want to book this a lot of like airport transfers, but this time we actually, I am so thankful that we booked an airport transfer and we just booked it through Viator and had like, it was like 10% cash back on Rakuten. And it only ended up being like $90, I think. And even though we were delayed, we were able to like talk via WhatsApp with the driver just to give him a heads up that we were delayed. And he was just standing there waiting for us with the biggest smile, like so happy to see us at the end of the night, getting in 2 hours late at like 7 o'clock at night.
Well, and it's so nice after that hectic travel day to just know like we don't need to go look for a taxi or like find whatever we need. Like you knew someone was just waiting for you.
Yes. And like, I'm so glad we did, because also we found out that in South Korea, that a lot of their stuff isn't on Google Maps. They have like stricter rules because of their closeness to North Korea and all that stuff. So a lot of that information isn't like public. So even when I searched like from the airport to, we were staying at the Grand Hyatt, I was looking at how far it was and it wouldn't even give me like the road distance. So I was like, this seems too tricky. I'm not going to like figure this out. Like, so we got picked up by our driver and we got taken straight to the Grand Hyatt Seoul. It's a category 5 hotel. Standard rates are 20,000 points a night, off peak 17, and peak are 23,000 a night. We were actually there during standard, which was surprising because Japan was all peak rates, but Korea wasn't. We were there like right before the cherry blossom season. So we expected peak rates everywhere. So that was a little surprising. The location of the hotel is a little tricky. It's on top of a hill. So like from the hotel, it's wonderful because it's like a very resort feel. There's an outdoor pool in the summertime. They have an indoor pool all year. In the winter, they have like an ice skating rink. And it's, they were telling us at the hotel that it's very popular for like staycations for people that live in the area. So it's really wonderful. But it's kind of, since it's on top of the hill, it's a 20-minute walk downhill to the subway station. And then another 20-minute walk back up at the end of the day after you walked like 10 miles. We didn't really mind it because the hotel was so wonderful. But, and there were like taxis everywhere. But as a family of five, you would need two taxis to get most anywhere. And not to mention like booster seats, car seats, like all that stuff. So it was just easier for us to just walk to the subway and do it that way.
Okay. So you said you were there standard. So 20,000 Hyatt points a night. And then you needed two rooms.
Yeah. And so our second room, I had asked if they had the family rate plan. And so far, I have been very unlucky in this. Nobody has had it available. But the second room, we paid cash. And they actually had a deal where it was pay for two nights, get the third night free. So that was like a really good deal. And we, so it was like $700 for the second room for our three nights. And we also had club access at this hotel. And I am like so thankful we did because we got in from our like crazy flight and we get dropped off and it's 7 o'clock at night. And when we checked in, they were so wonderful. They were so like, the service was great. We were like, what are the restaurants open? Cause we need to eat something for dinner before we go to bed after traveling for so long. And they were like, well, the club lounge is closed, but you can order room service and we'll just like take care of it. And then they were like, and then she was like, and you missed cocktail hour. Do you want white or red wine? We'll send a bottle to the room.
Oh my goodness. That is so nice.
Yeah, that's really amazing.
She's like, oh, these poor Americans with their young kids. Let's take care of them.
Yeah, like they were so nice. And it was just so like refreshing to just come to this like beautiful hotel where everybody was treating you so lovely. But yeah, so we got room service the first night.
I'm so curious to hear what you thought about Seoul. That isn't a place that's ever been on my radar at all. But I know there's a lot of people that love Koreans. So I'm so interested into, you know, what you thought about it and then later comparing it to Japan.
Yeah, so we loved Seoul. We left Korea. We only had two full days there. We left Korea and got to Japan. And I was kind of like, bummed that we only had the two full days. Everybody was so wonderful. The subway was super easy. It wasn't crowded. There like weren't tons of tourists. Like we went to a lot of the major like touristy sites. Like they have a lot of UNESCO World Heritage palaces that have been there since the like 1300s. We did like the changing of guard. We went to this like historic like village where you can visit and see the houses. There was just so much to see that I feel like we missed out by not having more time there. And I'm not one to repeat destinations, but I would totally go back and kind of hopefully get out of the city and go explore more of the country. Because there's a lot of really cool places that are on our list, but we just didn't have time to get there. But we still really enjoyed our time. And one funny thing that I actually remember is waiting on the subway, everybody would talk to us and like knowing that we didn't speak their language and knowing that we have no idea what they're saying. But I think kids are such like a conversation starter for people. And we ended up finally using like Google Translate to figure it. And everybody was asking us if our kids were twins or triplets. Like all these like elderly people were like stopping us. And we're like, I don't know what you're saying, but okay. We're just smiling and nodding. And like, they were so happy to just like see us and talk. And like, it was just very, very cute.
That's super cute.
That's so funny.
So then after Seoul, you had headed to Japan then, right?
Yep. So we flew Asiana Airlines one way from Seoul Gimpo Airport, which is like the closer one to the city. And we flew that to Osaka Kansai International Airport. And we paid 8,000 miles and $21 in taxes and fees. And that was on United. I booked it through United, but it was Asiana Airlines. And that flight, it was only like an hour and a half, but also like in economy, cash rate would have been like $200 a person. So we paid $105 44,000 miles for all of us to fly.
That's a really low mile, too. Only 8,800. That's so good.
It was a short flight, but the airline was, we sat down and the flight attendants knew our kids' names. Like, and we were like in economy in the back of a plane. And we sat down and they were like, Rose, Eleanor. And the girls were like, how do you know our names? But I think they, and I also think with the kids, like, sometimes people want to like practice their English or like whatever. And they think the kids are just such a safe space for them to do that. And they had like little like activity kits prepared for them. And they had like special snacks for them. And they came and checked. The flight was an hour and a half and they checked on them probably like five times if they needed anything else. But so we landed in Japan and we used the Japan web app. I know Jess was just recently there for the customs and immigration. So instead of filling out all the paper forms, you can fill it out ahead of time on your phone. And that was like, it made it a breeze. Like we landed, I basically like checked us in that we landed and showed through, they scanned our barcode, checked our passports, and we were like on our way in less than 10 minutes.
And I think that's so important when someone's traveling is to check and see what's needed when you're going into a different country. I mean, there's been a couple countries I've gone to and it's like, 2 days before, I'm going, oh my goodness, do I need a visa? Do I need a special form that lets them know that I'm coming? And most of the time I do. So when you're traveling, you know, if you can do that ahead of time, and especially if you don't have to use paper and pencil and you can do the electronic forms, that's really important to get, you know, to always check on when you're flying internationally.
I want to give a quick plug to our highlights on Travel Mom Squad Instagram account, because I have a Japan. If you're flying into Tokyo, this wouldn't have helped Megan, but if you're flying into Tokyo or going to Tokyo, in my highlight, I saved a ton of information about how to get around, the apps I used, how I booked the bullet trains and all that. So check that out for very detailed information if you want to see about that.
Thanks, Jess. Next time I go to Tokyo, I'm going to check out your bubble there.
All right. So you get to Osaka and you're there for how many nights?
We were there for 2 nights. And honestly, we had a little, well, the kids had ulterior motives of going to Osaka. That's where Universal Studios Japan is.
Okay.
and we didn't use points in Osaka. We actually stayed at a Mimaru brand hotel. And I'm actually going to write a blog post for Pam to post. And these hotels are very like basic, but they're Japanese style. They sleep from 4 up to like 8 people in one room. Our room slept 5 people and it was like $300 a night. Like it wasn't very expensive and the location was wonderful. We like took the subway from the airport right to our hotel. We came up from the subway and it was like around the corner and a hotel was there. So it was really easy to find. And our room had like a kitchenette. So it had like a stovetop and a sink and like a little like kitchen table and a full bathroom. And what the girls found really fun was we had 2 single beds and then 3 tatami mats. So they kind of like made their own beds like on the tatami mat. And like they thought that was really, really cool.
That's really cool. That's really fun for them.
Yeah. So we got there and the next day we went and we spent the day at Universal Studios Japan, which, by the way, is much cheaper than the American versions, but also much busier. So we paid $274 for all 5 of us to go to Universal Studios for the day. I actually looked, and to go to Florida Universal Studios for the same time, it would have been like $800 for the 5 of us to go for the day.
So it's like cheaper to fly to Osaka using your points and go to Universal?
This is how I sell things to my husband. Yeah, so it was much cheaper, but it was very busy. Like, I have never experienced an amusement park this busy. And we got there, like, right at opening. I did all the research. I did read all the blog posts. And we still only rode a couple rides because the lines were, like, 2 hours long. And there was just not enough rides for the amount of people. So there was, like, it was just kind of crazy. But we did love it. It was, like, Hello Kitty, Sing, Pokemon, Minion, Snoopy, Mario. So like a lot of characters that you don't really get here either, which was really fun. And like we love the parades and the shows, and it was just a really fun day, even though we didn't ride many rides.
I will also say I know that a Caption hotel just opened in Osaka. If anyone out there wants to redeem their Hyatt points, it's a category 1, so 5,000 points a night standard. I do not know about its proximity to Universal. So it may be nowhere near Universal if that is why you're going to Osaka like Megan did. But just thought I'd throw it out there because I think there are only – I think this is only the second caption hotel in the whole world. The other one is in Memphis, Tennessee, randomly, and I have stayed there. But
very, very random that that's where they put the two, yeah, the two caption hotels.
So Memphis and Osaka. All right. So where did y'all head after you left Osaka?
So we went to Kyoto, and we stayed 3 nights in Kyoto. We just took the train. It was like – a 20 or 30 minute train ride. I know. I think, Jess, you just did a day trip to Osaka from Kyoto. So that's also possible if you just wanted to stay there and do a day trip to Osaka. It so easy to do that. We stayed at the Hyatt Place. This just got moved down from a category 3 to a 2. And actually, while I was there, I texted you guys. I was like, this place is a steal. Like, it was so nice. It's brand new. It just opened like a year or two ago. I do want to make a note that even though it's a Hyatt Place, breakfast is not free, which was kind of a bummer, even though I expected, I kind of did my research and I saw that, but it was kind of like, ah, dang it. But we originally booked it for a lot more points, like 15,000 points a night, I think. But while we checked in on the day that it went down a category, so we technically only needed to pay 8,000 points, or what is it, 9,000 points a night? So we got a refund of like 33,000 points for our two rooms.
Because oh, that the worked out so
which
nice.
Is like, yeah. And it was literally like the day we checked in. And I was like, is this going to work or is it not going to work?
That's awesome.
Also, Megan, you know that you're friends with three globalists who could have booked you a guest of honor stay, you know, to get you some free breakfast.
I know. I hate asking for things, though.
We have the free breakfast is queen on the show right now. She could have hooked you up.
But also the location of the Kyoto Hyatt Place is really awesome. Another one where we came up from the subway and I was like, oh, it should be right up the street. And I turned around and it was literally the front entrance of the hotel. Like, we just walked into it. So the location was really great. It's right down the street from the Imperial Palace too.
So when you said Hyatt Place, in my mind, I was thinking like, oh, this is great. They you know, have higher occupancy, but clearly here you had to get two rooms. So they didn't have like they do here where it's like, oh, we have two queens and a pull-out sofa bed. What was like the room situation like there?
So we had originally booked a king room and a two twin room. So it was like a king bed and then there was like a single chair, like pull-out sofa. And then the two twin room had two single beds and then a single chair pull-out sofa. But each room only technically slept three people. We didn't have connecting rooms when we checked in. And like, I book everything under my husband because he travels a lot for work. So I'm like, you have a better chance of getting status than I do. So I make him get to the front desk and like negotiate with everybody because he like doesn't know. And I'm like, just tell them, just ask them. I was like, it says we don't have connecting rooms. Just go back and ask them if they can get us connecting rooms.
You need to like put a mic in his ear, give him like an earbud and like what he needs to do.
Yeah, but he does such a great job because he's so patient with everybody. And he's like, the guy was kind of annoyed because he's like, this is our busiest season. I don't know what we can do. And like, I always email ahead of time asking for connecting rooms, even though like when I book our second room, I check that connecting room box and I put in the little comment, like my reservation number from the first reservation I made. Like, I do everything I can do to guarantee this. And sometimes it just still doesn't work out. But the guy was so nice and so patient. And there's like two tour groups that had just showed up and he still worked his magic and got us connecting rooms. And the breakfast there was 2,600 yen for an adult, which is $17. And kids were 1,300. So it was like $8 for kids.
Both were reasonable.
Yeah, it really wasn't expensive. And it was a full buffet. So it was...
Than a typical Hyatt Place buffet then?
Way better.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, like it was like fresh eggs, powdered eggs.
Yeah.
I mean, my kids eat their weight in like chocolate croissants and muffins every morning. But like for us, it was like a mix of like Western food and Asian food. Like there was rice and all the options. But yeah, so we loved this hotel. And actually, it was really funny. It's because we came from the Grand Hyatt. And we had club access there. And like my kids got a little spoiled. And then we get to the Hyatt Place. And one of my second graders was like, is this the Hyatt Palace? And I was like, no, it's just the Hyatt Place. And she's like, is that more fancy or less fancy than the last hotel? And I was like, it's less fancy. And then she just gives me like a little like pouty face. Like,
I love it. That's hilarious.
Well, sounds like as far as Hyatt places go, it was pretty nice. And I'm actually excited to hear this review because I am eyeing this hotel for spring break next year. I'm going back to Japan with my husband and Ella, my oldest stepdaughter, and Molly. So there's going to be four of us. And so I don't think the Park Hyatt Kyoto is going to happen this time, but the Hyatt place looks really nice and you cannot beat 8,000 points a night. So
yeah, it really was nice. And they provided pajamas. So they had like nightgowns and slippers in all the rooms and robes. And it was a fancy Hyatt place. And it was really good. Since it was right on the metro, it was so easy to get everywhere. Like by the end of just those couple of days, our kids were like professional metro riders.
That's awesome. So what do you think your kids would say their favorite thing you did in Kyoto was?
So they really loved Nara. So we did a day trip to Nara. We didn't feed the deer. I felt a little like, I don't know, animal tourism is a little strange for me. Like we're animal lovers and we got there at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon and the deer looked just like they had been stuffed full all day. And I was like, this doesn't feel right. Like, I don't want to. I was like, we'll just walk around and check things out. And what their favorite part ended up being was we went across the little like creek and hung out on the other side in the woods. And they were like, they found like all these sticks and they were like building a fort and they were like cleaning the dams out of the little stream. And like, they loved that more than anything.
That's awesome. I also did not feed the deer in Nara because I was scared of them.
They were overly friendly. Like they were very used to being fed. Like, but I'm so glad we went. Oh, and we went to the visitor center there. And I just have to give a plug for this visitor center. It was the best visitor center. Everything was free. They wrote your names in kanji. You could try on kimonos and get pictures. They made like little deer origami. They had like so many activities and it was all free.
Yeah,
it was.
I remember seeing your stories that you posted from your trip, and you know, you posted all that. I was like, oh my goodness, that is so cute! All the things they had there.
Yeah, and the English speaking guide, a lot of the people at the visitor center didn't speak English, but they had this one guy, Jay, and he followed us around for the whole hour and a half we were there, and just made sure that we had like the best possible experience. And then at the end, he was like, "I have gifts for you," and he had like little like things of chopsticks and stuff for us to take home. And it was so lovely.
So after Kyoto, then you headed where?
To Tokyo. So we took the bullet train, which is when we booked for five people with two adults and three kids. It was $330. So like that is pretty expensive, but I don't know what the other option would be. It would be, I guess, take a regional train or fly, which probably would all end up being about the same time, or you spend a lot more time on the train. So, but we really enjoyed it. We used the SmartX app, just like Jess showed in her stories. I was like, oh, that's so easy. And I just scanned everybody through off my phone. So I just like put everybody through one by one before me, and then I'd go through last. And then a little tip I actually learned too is that on the train, if you're on the side that has the two seats, you can step on like a lever on the bottom and flip the two seats around so it makes a four seater. So me and the girls like sat there. Then my husband sat across the aisle from us, which was really nice for a couple hour train ride to have everybody just like contained in one spot. And we didn't have any views of Mount Fuji. I purposely booked us on like the left side of the train. And then it was like so cloudy. We couldn't see anything. And I was like, oh, bummer. And then when we got to Tokyo, we took the subway and we headed to the Hyatt Regency Tokyo. This is kind of like in the business district, like government district. So we were there over the weekend. So it was very quiet. There were not a lot of people, but it was kind of nice to have it like that because Tokyo, so it's like buzzing all the time. It felt kind of nice to like come back to an area that like wasn't crazy crowded for a couple of days, for like at the end of the day. And so Hyatt Regency Tokyo is a category 4, and we were there during peak rate. So we paid 18,000 points a night. And so our first room was 54,000 points. And then our second room, we used points for two nights and then a free night certificate. And Jess and Alex actually were kind enough to give us Club Lounge Access Awards. And I applied those. And I knew that that second room that had the free night award wouldn't qualify for that one night. And I was like, that's fine. We're leaving early in the morning. It's not a big deal. And then when we checked in, the guy was like, I see that you have this. Normally we wouldn't allow it, but for a one-time thing. So he gave us the club lounge access for the third night, even on that free night certificate, which was really, really nice. I would say the only downside of this hotel was that there were no connecting rooms. He was like, we have like very, very few connecting rooms. I think it's probably because it's in a business district, that so they don't accommodate families typically. But points wise, it was a really good deal. So that's how we booked it. So we had two rooms. So we actually changed one of our rooms from a two twin room to so we had two king rooms so they could be next to each other. But it was a little frustrating to have, like, we split the kids. Like, I took the twins, my husband took my oldest, and then like we would do bath all in one room and then split up and do bedtime. And it was just for three nights, like, that's a lot.
Yeah.
But the location really was wonderful. The club lounge food wasn't as good as the Grand Hyatt in Seoul. The Grand Hyatt in Seoul was really special. Like, I would 100% go back there. The food here was just very, it was very basic. They didn't have a lot of options. It took forever to get things refilled. Like, my kids were eating, like they, every meal had french fries. Like, they had, like, potato wedges, french fries, or, like, tater tots at, like, every option. But then, like, they would go really fast because everybody's waiting for them. And then it would take forever for them to get refilled. And that was just a little frustrating. But there was tons of seating, and there was like this one little conference room in the middle that had like a desk at the end that overlooked the city. And we would go in there and eat every night because the kids would sit there and just watch all the cars and like the elevators going up and down. And like, we weren't disturbing anybody. So it was really, it actually worked out to be kind of perfect, to, like, separate from everybody at the end of the night so we could all relax and just eat and hang out.
You're like, free entertainment, done.
Exactly. But location wise, it was great. There was a park like right behind the hotel. It was, I have my notes. It was like the Chuo. I'll have to look it up. Oh, it's the Shinjuku Chuo Park. And they had this like crazy playground that was awesome. Our kids loved it. They begged to go back every single night. Like, at the end of the night, they're like, let's go to the playground. And we first got there on a Friday, and all the kids were from the area were like getting off school. So like, we got there like the perfect time. It was tons of kids. Like, that's one of our favorite things to do, is just like stop at random playgrounds. Just for we sit on a bench and the kids just go play, and they make friends with kids that don't even speak their same language, and they still know how to play. Like, it's just so, it's such a wonderful experience.
I love that.
For them.
I think that is one of the things I love most about travel, is just to see other families interacting with other with their own family or with other families. And since I don't travel with little kids and am not getting all those perks, I'm also not seeing that. So that would be another reason to take little children with me. I think that would be really, really special.
Molly and Noah are ready to go. They're ready for the next trip.
Can you imagine Pam, Molly, and Noah?
That would make for a really good podcast episode. I think we should do it. Pam, Molly, and Noah take Japan.
Japan. Oh my gosh. Yes. So before we move on to the Disney content, what was some of your favorite things you did in Tokyo, like in the city?
So we went to Harajuku and we did the giant cotton candy that you like see all over Instagram. And
that was my favorite street in like the Takeshita Street was my favorite area in Tokyo. It's so fun.
Yeah, like it was so fun. And like the kids just, they wanted to go in everywhere. And like, we were like, okay, well, we have to pick a couple things because we're not going to get to see everything. So we did the cotton candy. They wanted to eat that rainbow grilled cheese. So we ate that. And the capsule toy stores. So the little gumball machines with toys in them, those were everywhere. And we had to like set a budget because it was going to get out of hand really quickly. So everybody got 1,000 yen, which is like $6 American. I was like, that's all you're getting. You're getting 1,000 yen. And then each machine's like between 200 and 400 yen. So then they had to like budget which ones they wanted to like use up all their money, but not go over. It was overwhelming for an adult. I can't imagine a kid trying to make these decisions because there were literally hundreds of these machines in like one store.
Yeah, we went to a store just in the Singapore airport in the Jewel. And I was overwhelmed, and Jess was like, this is like nothing compared to what's in Japan. And I'm like overwhelmed just by that. I was like, okay, because I was going to get my kids a souvenir. I was like, never mind. I don't need to. It's fine. Let's go.
Yeah. And they got some really cute things. Like, they got watches out of the one. And I was like, this was a $2 watch, and it's still working like 3 weeks later. But yeah, so we loved Tokyo. We only had 3 days. I wish we had more time. I wish we had more time everywhere, but I think that's almost every trip I take. I'm always like, oh, I wish we didn't get to things. things move a lot slower with kids. Like my wish list of what we wanted to do, I was like cutting things left and right. I was like, we're not going to get to this. We're not going to get to this. Save this for another time. So we really tried to like keep things in the same area so we weren't crisscrossing town, or we would start like from our hotel and take the subway to the furthest point and then kind of like wind our way back walking so we weren't like underground or on a bus the whole time. And that seemed to work really well.
Traveling with a child and having to cut things off your agenda is kind of like traveling with a husband sometimes. Because I don't have a lot of sugar. When I travel with Mr. Reluctant Traveler, it's like I go somewhere and I'm like, yeah, that one's not going to work. Nope, that's off the list today. So
too many museums, better cross that off.
Yeah, exactly. But the one like super touristy thing that they really loved, they loved going up into Tokyo Tower. We had done Paris a couple years ago and went up into the Eiffel Tower. And I feel like they were like, this was like the culmination of like their travel. Like they're like, we went into both towers. Like,
yeah, I mean, not many people can say that in general, let alone at your kid's age.
Like, yeah, exactly. I'm like, you guys have seen more of the world than I saw until I was like 30. and then, so at the end of our couple days in Tokyo, we checked out of our hotel and we went to Tokyo Station and we put our bags in a storage locker. And in Tokyo Station, there's this like shopping mall basically under the subway. It's called Character Street. And it's like, there's a Pokemon store, there's a Hello Kitty store. And it's like every character you can think of has like their own store of like their merch. And we just like literally checked out every single store. And we also discovered Tokyo Banana, which are kind of like these little like sponge cakes with cream in them, but they're shaped like bananas. And they had like Pikachu ones, they had Disney ones, and they were really good. I was like, I wish we bought more.
Yes, is that the thing that you were obsessed with?
Yes, and I found it, Megan, when we were in Singapore, we stumbled upon this like Japanese grocery store, and I was like, oh my God, I wonder if they have Tokyo Banana here. And I found it, and I screamed, and Pam was like, what? It is amazing.
Were they as good as you remembered?
Like I got home and I like pulled them out of my bag and Molly was like, oh my gosh, you found Tokyo Banana. But I didn't know until I saw Megan's stories that they had different flavors. I had only ever had like the original one.
Yeah. And actually when we got to the store, they had a sign and it was like in English and then in Japanese. And it was like, they had special character ones that people were like waiting in line to buy. And we were like, no, 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 we just want the regular ones. We don't need the special ones. And the lady was like, okay. And then she like let us go in front of the line because I guess they get so many in a day and then they were selling out like within minutes. So it's a very popular thing. And then so from Tokyo Station, we took the train out to Disneyland, and that's in the Tokyo Bay area. We stayed at a Hilton there. There is a Hyatt Regency, but it has a shuttle. It's not on the monorail. The Hilton Tokyo Bay is on the monorail, just like all the Disney hotels, which is very, very convenient to get to the parks, because that's literally why we were staying there, was just to go to the parks. So we paid cash for this room. They had a family room that slept 5 people. It wasn't bookable on points, but standard rooms can sleep 4 people. And I made a note there, 55,000 to 61,000 points per night. And since Amex transfers 1 to 2 to Hilton, that probably wouldn't be a bad deal if you're a family of 3 or 4 to use your points there. Because we ended up paying, it was almost like $500 a night for the family room to sleep all 5 of us. So we had 3 single beds and a set of bunk beds. But we also had like the theme park view. So we had fireworks view every night. And we walked out of the hotel. Oh, and breakfast was included in our rate. So that was like really nice. They had 2 giant restaurants with breakfast buffet. Since everybody's there for the same reason, everybody's up early, everybody's eating breakfast at the same time, so they can get to the park for that like 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock opening.
Well, and I assume a comparable hotel at Disney World US would be much more than $500 a night for a family of 5 with
for the location. Yeah, for the location, definitely. It would probably be considered similar to like a deluxe hotel at Disney, like the Polynesian or Grand Floridian that are like right on the monorail there. But also, the monorail is not free. It's a subway line, basically, but it looks just like the Disney World Florida monorail. But we just bought like 3-day passes. They weren't very expensive. They were only a couple dollars. And I think that's really just to keep the number of people down a little bit so people aren't just riding it all day for free. But it was like 2 stops to Disneyland and 1 stop to Disney Sea. And So they have two parks there. Again, like Universal, much cheaper. It was $260 for the day for all five of us to go to Tokyo Disneyland. And then their second park is Disney Sea. And that was the same price, $260 for all five of us for the day.
So definitely go to the parks. Plan your, it's cheaper to go to Tokyo and go to Disneyland than go to Disneyland if you're paying cash. Use your point.
Yes. And even things were just cheaper in general. Like the ears were only like 2,000 yen, which are like $13. And here they're like $35 to $45. So I was like, everybody can get two pairs of ears. So the kids were like going wild because they were so excited that they thought this was like such a special thing. And I was like, they're so much cheaper. Like, just get them. Like,
yeah.
So we did our first day at Disneyland. And right now they have like their 40th anniversary thing. And you can get two free like lightning lanes, like fast passes. And then you can get two paid ones per day. So that's four rides right there that you're like guaranteed to walk on. We tried to maximize it by focusing on rides that we don't have here. So in Disneyland, we used our paid ones for Beauty and the Beast and Baymax. So Beauty and the Beast is my favorite movie. You ride in like these giant teacups. It's very similar to Ratatouille, where it's like on those like the trackless, like you move through the ride. But you sit in giant teacups and they kind of like rock, like you're in the bubbles in the beginning of the movie and Be Our Guest. And it was such a good ride. Like the line was like 150 minutes the whole day we were there. So I am so glad we paid for the like premiere pass to skip the line. And then the other one was the Baymax one, which is very similar to, if you've been to Disney World, Florida, they have the Alien Saucer Spin. It's like the same ride, but it's Baymax themed. Baymax is like a special character for them because it takes place in like a city that's like a mix of San Francisco and Tokyo. And the music, everybody like knows all these dances. We're like, why does everybody know the dance and the words to these songs? I like felt like we didn't do our research. I was like, I feel like we should know this. So even just that experience was like just very cool and unique to just, you don't get that here. Like it was just very cool. Our second day we did at Disney Sea. And so Disney's over in Tokyo is not owned by Disney Company. It's owned by like a private corporation. And they like lease the Disney name and all that stuff. So their parks, especially Disney Sea, is kind of like, almost like they didn't have a budget. Like, it's like so grand. It's so big. It's spread out. You walk in, it's like you're walking into Venice. It's like all like there's gondolas going on the water. And there's like a volcano in the backside. There's like a full-size cruise ship that has a restaurant in it. I was like, this is nuts. So the whole time where I'm walking around, like my jaw was like open. Like,
did it even feel like you were at Disney?
It was not very Disney-ish feeling in Disney Sea. It wasn't. There was like a underground, like Little Mermaid, like under the sea type theme, like little kitty area. And it was really rainy the day we were there. So that was kind of like jam-packed with people trying to get out of the rain. And I feel like that would be very like Disney-ish. But everything else was like, the rides were like Indiana Jones, Journey to the Center of the Earth, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. But then they had little things like they had the Nemo show, like where it's like Turtle Talk with Crush. But obviously all in Japanese. And like we still did all the shows because I was like, it's still a cool experience, even though we don't know what the jokes are. Like,
so if you could only do one of the parks, would you choose Disney Sea just because it's so unique?
I think I would. But also I have a goal of going to all six Disney parks. And I feel like you have to see the castle for it to count. So it'd be hard for me to pick. So this was my fifth of six Disney parks. So I only have Shanghai left. And I'm scheming a trip to hopefully even go by myself just because I'm like, I need to just cross it off my list now. And like the funny part is we went to China and that was like one of our first like points and miles trips in 2014. I was like newly pregnant with Rose. We had already planned this trip and we went to China and that was 2014 and Shanghai Disney didn't open until 2016. But on that trip, we went to Hong Kong Disney. So I was like, I got one out of the two in the area out of the way, but I still have Shanghai left. So after our days at Disney, we headed back to the airport. And this was a long day because we were going back to Seoul to fly home. So we booked an airport transfer from the Hilton Tokyo Bay to Tokyo Narita, which is kind of outside the city. But we were already kind of outside the city, so it made sense to go that direction for the airport. And same thing, I just booked it on Viator, got the 10% cash back on Rakuten. It was about $130. And I'm glad we did it. We got to the airport and we flew Korean Air, and I actually booked it through Delta, and it was 7,600 miles a person and $28 in taxes and fees. So our five flights were 38,000 miles and $140 total for all five of us to fly back to Seoul. And then we had like a 4-hour layover, which we couldn't even check into our flight until 3 hours before. And like, we don't check luggage. Everything was carry on. But we still had to check in person because, like, my husband's passport, like, went and scanned correctly or something. So we had to, like, wait in the line, go through. And then, so we didn't even have to check bags. I was like, okay. And we finally got into the gates. And I think that's where we used our Priority Pass lounge access because we both had the Amex Platinums. And the lounge was so sad. It was like make your own ramen. It was like the coffee machine was broken. And I was just like, okay, I'd rather just go pay for food. So then we flew home on American. And we actually had an overnight layover in Dallas, and we booked the Hyatt Regency right there at the airport for like 8,000 points for the night. And funny enough, our most expensive meal on our entire trip was our dinner at the Dallas Hyatt Regency. So I feel like sometimes Japan gets a bad rap for being expensive. And yes, like, obviously, if you're paying cash to like get yourselves there or get five people there, like, it can be very expensive. But we actually found both Korea and Japan food wise to not be that much. We weren't eating at like any fancy places, but it really wasn't that expensive.
I also think that maybe compared to other parts of Asia, Japan seems expensive. But I agree with you, like, the dollar is really strong there right now. And so compared to the US, you can get some really good deals.
Yeah, I agree. And like, we ate a lot of street food. We ate a lot of just quick things to eat. And we did have the club lounge access at the Grand Hyatt and the Hyatt Regency. And that like really, really helped because that took care of breakfast and dinner most nights.
And 7-Elevens are the best in Japan because they have really good food and it's so cheap. And you have to get an egg salad sandwich from 7-Eleven if you go to Japan.
You should have seen my mom's face.
Yeah, we did that.
She just was like, ugh. Because you think of that here and it's like a 7-Eleven or an egg salad sandwich at 7-Eleven. Like,
well, there's probably a different kind of sandwich that you do like at 7-Eleven.
Yeah. They had like ham and cheese. We did a whole like Dorito taste testing the one night. We did like four different flavors of Doritos. They had a bunch of different Pringles flavors. We really loved the taco Doritos that we got. And then we came home and we saw them at like, we have Wegmans here. It's like our grocery store. And my husband was like, they have taco Doritos. And he bought them and they were not the same. They were not as good as the ones we had in Japan. And it was so disappointing because we thought it'd be like, at least like some similar flavor, and they were not even close.
So do you have, I don't know if you keep up with this, but like, if you had paid cash for this trip, do you have a ballpark of like how much you think it would have cost out of pocket?
I know that we paid under $5,000 for everything out of pocket, but I think at least
like over $20,000, right?
I would say my estimate would probably be between $15,000 and $20,000 cash out of pocket. I would say we probably would have stayed at a Grand Hyatt and a Hyatt Regency. We probably would have stayed at the more like Mimaru brand hotels. We were paying like $300 a night. But that's kind of like the nice part about using points and miles is that like my standards have kind of gone up a little bit. Like, I want to have the free breakfast if I can get it. I want to stay in a nicer hotel in a better location. It's like right above the subway. I feel like I'm in a little different part of my life now that I am willing to sacrifice a little bit more to be able to do that kind of stuff.
Well, you are preaching to the choir because I think all three of us agree, and we are very much like, well, if it's free, if we can just use points and make it free, of course we're going to go for like the nicer place that's more convenient. And so, yeah, totally feel you on that.
And I also wanted to note that like when I book our stuff with points, I'm not always getting the best redemption. Like, I know some people are real sticklers, like, I'm not going to book this if I don't get 2 cents per mile or per point. And I'm like, I just want a free hotel stay. I don't care if it's like the best redemption. Like when I'm just we were gone total for 17 days. Like, that's a really long trip. And I wanted to make sure that we could bring the cost down as much as we could so that we could travel for that extended period of time. So like, that's more important to me than getting the best value, really. Yeah. So I posted about our trip in the Travel Mom Squad Facebook group, and there were a lot of questions, and a lot of them were like, do you homeschool? And I'm like, no, we extend our spring break. So we bundled up to spring break. It started on the Friday before. And the Friday before that, they had off for conferences. And the spring conferences are optional at our district. So I was like, okay, well, we're only missing 6 days of school. Like, that's really not bad for a total 17-day trip. Our school is so supportive. Like, I'm the PTA president there, and I was at school on Friday, and I was helping another mom do something. And I felt so bad because every teacher, the principal, the assistant principal stopped me to be like, how was your trip? What did you guys do? Did you love it? And they're like, I just love that you're doing this with your kids. Like, they're getting such a great education outside of the school building. And like, our school is so supportive. I've never had a teacher give us a negative opinion on anything. We don't ask for them to like prepare work for us or anything. It's just kind of, they're always like, keep a journal or keep reading, or they're going to get a better education in those couple of days than they will this like week before break where everybody's crazy. Like, and then people also ask like how long it like took us to get the points for this trip. I also like, I don't sit on a stockpile of points. I literally was like earning points and then booking things immediately. So like, I don't keep track of like how long it takes me. I don't open specific cards. I think our overall general strategy is like, you do what works best for you, focus on flexible points where you can. Obviously, the American airline things were very specific that we opened cards just for those points to book those specific flights. But other than that, everything was like Chase points transferred to Hyatt, or Amex points transferred to Delta or all the other airlines. And it just kind of like just keeps flowing. And like, I'm always booking a trip like 6 to 12 months in advance. So like right now I'm working on like next spring break, but like all those points are kind of, I'm kind of gathering them as I go to be able to book that trip.
So where is next spring break's trip?
I'm working hopefully to go to the Grand Canyon, and then it's the 100th anniversary of the Tucson Rodeo. So I really think that would be really cool to go to. And then I know, and then we're going to go to a couple of national parks, and then hopefully end up in Albuquerque at the Hyatt Regency Tamaya Resort and Spa there. That one looks really cool. So I feel like if we could fly into like Vegas, road trip our way, and then fly out of Albuquerque to come back. And I just had two last questions that people kept asking is how we packed. We travel carry-on only. We had 3 carry-ons, and then the girls each had a personal item, and that's all we had. I did laundry twice. Japanese washing machines automatically add the laundry detergent, which was like magic. The one at the Hyatt Place in Kyoto, you literally put your laundry in, you pay, and then you put a passcode on it so nobody can steal your laundry, and then you just walk away, and there's like an app, you can like scan the QR code and it'll let you know when your laundry's done. I was like, I'm living in the future here, like this feels so amazing. So like, you didn't have to sit in the laundry room and do your laundry the whole time, which was also like super nice. And then the other question was, how are the bathrooms and like about how much walking we did? I was surprised on how many public restrooms there were. Like, anytime we needed one, there was one available. Like, we didn't have to hunt for any bathrooms, which obviously is very important when you're traveling with kids. Like, even the subway bathrooms were very clean and taken care of. And we didn't have a bad bathroom experience. I think we only experienced one bathroom that didn't have Western toilets. It just had the squat toilets. And the kids were like, I'll just hold it. Like, they were like, I don't want to try it right now. And then the last question was about how much walking we did. We walked a lot, like 7 to 10 miles almost every single day. My kids are great walkers. They kind of just like get in a groove, and they probably actually walked a lot more than us because they were like running ahead, then running back to us. Now we'd stop at a playground and they'd run on the playground. We sat on a bench and drank some water. And I think I mentioned it earlier, like, it's really hard to get a taxi for more than 3 people. So I'm not going to pay for 2 taxis everywhere. That just is expensive. And the logistics of coordinating that doesn't seem like very much fun. So we just did a lot of subway and a lot of walking. And I think people don't realize that the cities we are in are as big or if not bigger than New York City. So if you have to think about like all the tourist sites aren't right next to each other, they're like miles apart. Like, you are really having to work your way to get to everything.
Well, Megan, we love your report so much. Thanks so much for coming on and sharing about your trip. As you can see, points and miles can be a great resource to allow families to see the world without breaking the bank. If you want to learn more about traveling on points, check out the link in the show notes and register for our free webinar, How to Start Traveling for Nearly Free.
Thanks so much for listening to Points Talk with the Travel Mom Squad. Make sure to hit the subscribe or follow button from wherever you're listening so you never miss an episode. Want to start jet setting even faster? Follow the links in the show notes to learn about everything we discussed in today's episode. And to stay connected and follow along, follow us on Instagram at Travel Mom Squad. We can't wait to see where in the world Points and Miles take you.